The practice of mindfulness of breathing is, for most people, the easiest, most accessible, and supportive meditation object to use, particularly for developing concentration. It's a physical sensation. It's not exciting, it doesn't grab the attention, so it requires effort to bring attention to it. Unless the breathing is restricted or problematic in some way, generally the breath goes on in the background of our awareness. So it takes effort to bring it to the center, to pay attention to it, to follow its rhythms. So it helps to arouse that quality of chanda, interest, virya, energy. It also locks the attention into the body and thereby in the present moment, because the body never wanders off into the past or the future. The physical body is a guaranteed connection to the Pachupana Dhamma, the here and now reality. So the breath has many advantages, many blessings in this respect. Similarly with walking meditation, the act of walking for most of us is unremarkable. You need to bring attention to the act of walking, the feeling of the feet meeting the ground, because it doesn't grab our attention. It doesn't seem to be anything special or exciting or interesting, valuable. So it takes effort to bring attention to that, to sustain attention upon that. But there are many other meditation objects that can be used, different focal points to train the attention. We use mindfulness of breathing simply because that's a non-personal, natural form that all of us experience. There are many different objects, different methods to develop both concentration and insight. And another of these is to be attending to what is called the inner sound or the nada. If we listen closely, pay attention to the faculty of hearing, then in the background, behind the sounds of my words or between the words where there are silences, if we bring attention, we can notice a continuous inner high-pitched ringing tone, kind of silvery continuous flow of sound. Most people are able to experience this to some degree, some people not. Some people, it's very loud, very obvious. This is what Lumpo Samato calls the sound of silence and can be used very directly as a meditation object. One of the advantages of listening to the inner sound, the sound of silence, is that unlike the breath, it doesn't respond to personal will. You can't decide to make it do anything. Like with the breath, we can breathe in, we can breathe out, we can hold our breath, we can breathe in a shallow way or a deep way. But with the inner sound, you either pay attention to it or not. personal will and choice doesn't have any effect upon it. You can't decide to make it louder or softer. Those intentions have no effect. We can direct the attention to it, listen, or not. So it helps to support that, the insight and the attitude of non-controlling, the attitude of receptivity, acceptance, just listening, receiving the sound, knowing it. If you're able to hear this inner sound, to feel that inner vibration, then this is something that can be actively cultivated as a meditation object, as an alternative to mindfulness of breathing, or even in conjunction with it. Feeling the rhythm of the breath and hearing the inner sound there behind it, around it. Another of the advantages of developing this inner listening is that there's an energizing effect that comes about through focusing attention upon that. It seems to have a brightening, enlivening impact upon the level of attention, of arousal, mental alertness. So, the more you pay attention to it, the easier it is to pay attention. Rather than sending the mind to sleep, making it more dull, instead it has an enlivening, energizing, arousing quality to it. Lumpur Sumedho would always discourage any kind of theorizing, trying to figure out what this inner sound is, or where it comes from, or is there a proper name for it, or is it some kind of cosmic vibration? Is it just the electrical impulses in your ears? His encouragement, which I echo, is to not to get involved, not to create agitation and confusion around that. We can simply know that it's present, just like with the breath. We don't have to see the breath as some kind of symbolic cosmic rhythm, the tides of the universe washing in and washing out, but rather it's just the body breathing. We don't have to focus on the biology of respiration, but just know that sensation of that rhythm. In the same way with the inner sound, we don't have to come up with some sort of idea or opinion about what it is or where it comes from, but just use it. Here it is. And the more that you develop the listening to it, then the easier it is to notice. So, like right now, even as I'm speaking, I can hear it very clearly, continuously in the background, with the sound of my own voice and the spaces in between, the inner sound continues. I've been using it for decades, so it's a very clear and obvious presence to me. Another of the advantages of the inner listening is that even though we call it inner listening or inner sound, you can't really locate it anywhere. So with the breath, maybe we focus on the breathing at the nostrils or in the chest or the throat. There's some place where we are breathing. We feel the breath in some spot in the body. But the inner sound, the nada, isn't really located anywhere. Location doesn't apply. It's not anywhere. It's present. But awareness doesn't apply. In this way, it's a very good symbol for the mind itself. The physical body has a location in space. Here we are. Amravati, St. Margaret's Lane, Great Gadsden, Hertfordshire. This spot, sitting here in the temple, this particular mat. Here it is. This is where my body is located in space. But the mind itself is not located anywhere. Three-dimensional space only relates to rupakanda, material form. The namakandas, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness, place doesn't apply. Location does not apply. So, in this quality of inner listening, listening to the nada sound, that unlocated quality is present, but it's not anywhere. That is a good symbol, a good representation of the nature of mind itself. So we can use the inner sound as a concentration object to focus the attention on that, and deliberately excluding other perceptions, other sounds, and use it as a focal point for absorbing attention, creating an acute quality of concentration. But also, it can be used very actively and effectively to support the insight meditation, the quality of awareness, the development of wisdom itself. So rather than focusing on the sound to the exclusion of other objects, we want to use it to support the development of vipassana, insight, the development of a more open awareness. Just let the sound be in the background of all experience. Just as I can hear the sound of my voice and the nada sound is there in the background, we can let that inner sound be like a wallpaper, a backdrop for the rest of our experience. There in the background, the physical sensations arise. There's the nada in the background. A thought, a memory arises. The nada is there in the background. We hear sounds, see visual objects, we open our eyes, we see the shrine or the temple or the grass and the trees around us as we walk, and the nada is always still there in the background. So in this way, the presence of that sound can be a reminder, can support those reflections on anicca, dukkha, anatta. It reminds that the actuality is the flow of perceptions, mental formations arising, taking shape, dissolving every moment. It helps to keep all of the field of experience in a correct context, enables the heart, the mind, to see things in their true light. Makes it easier not to get absorbed into a fantasy or a worry, an irritation, a physical pain, or an opinion, or a sound. It supports that recognition. Oh, it's just a sound, it's just a feeling, it's just an opinion, it's just a memory, it's just an emotion, a mood. That's what it is. It's a mental event. So, to sustain it as a presence in the background of experience helps to maintain that quality of clarity, seeing the empty, fabricated nature of all experience, arising, taking shape, dissolving. Now it can be that when all this is said, for some people it's the experience is, I can't hear anything. What's he talking about? This is nonsense. Why am I always the one who's left out? Why is it always me that's the one that's not getting it? Sometimes this inner vibration is not discernible as a sound, but sometimes it's noticeable as a physical sensation, like a tingling, a vibratory quality in the fingertips or in the face, in the eyelids. Sometimes it's there as a quality of vision, a kind of subtle oscillation, a shimmering quality of our vision. Depending on which sense channel, sense door has been strongly developed, it can vary. So maybe it's more accurate to talk of it as a universal vibration or an inner vibration. But for most people, the faculty of hearing is where it's most noticeable. But if you can't hear it or feel it, notice it in any way, then please just leave these reflections aside. Use the other kinds of approach to meditation that you have been employing. Use what works for you, because ultimately that's the path we all need to follow. We see what works. If it works, it's the right thing. If it doesn't work, it's not the right thing. But if one can discern this inner sound, this is something that can be easily perceived, put it to work, use it. Let it be something that's another skillful means, an upaya, that brings about that awakening, brightening quality of the heart, that feeds the quality of vijja, awakened awareness, and counteracts avijja, that darkness and distortion of unclear seeing, of ignorance, not knowing.